امیر کبیر خیام مولانا اویسنا خوارزمی Iranian notables, sources of global honor.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. If you remember, for a couple of weeks, we have been discussing the life and works of the famous poet of 6th and 7th century AH, corresponding to 12th and 13th century AD, Ohaduddin Hamid ibn Abulfakhr Kermani. We said there is little information on the life and times of Ohaduddin Kermani, as chronicles and biographers have written very little about him. The only sources for knowing him are the account of Muhyiddin al-Arabi in Futuhat Makkiyah and the book Manaqib, whose author is not known. We also said that he had left Kerman due to the onslaught of Ghaz Turks and their dominance on the region. Researchers maintain that he was born in Zilhijjah of 561 AH and died in Sha'ban of 635 AH in Baghdad. In the beginning of his trip, he had gone to Baghdad and studied there and became the teacher of Hakkakiyye school there. Ohaduddin Kermani didn't believe Sufi sheikhs, hence he spent most of his time in seclusion, living as an ascetic, to expurgate his spirit and heart. One day, he passed by the Khanqah of Ruknuddin Muhammad Sojasi, a renowned Sufi of those days. Sojasi was from Sojas village near Zanjan in northwest of Iran. His Khanqah was beside River Tigris. Ohaduddin was appointed by the Abbasid Caliph as the master of sheikhs in Baghdad and stayed there till the end of his life. Generally speaking, a khanqah is different from a school. At school, teachers used to teach a set of logical concepts and arguments so that their students would learn that the fact is what they have understood. Accordingly, these students would be confined to the teachings of the predecessors and would rarely think of creativity and innovation. But the instruction was different in a khanqah. Over there, a salik, or seeker and traveler of the path of truth, would be trained in a way that he would gain a novel method of thinking to look at the world inside and outside in a different way. This educational method would cause the student to march in a new path and ignore imitation. He would become creative to discover the truth personally. In the view of late professor Badiozamon Foruzanfar, that's why, during the time that the education of Khanqah was based on correct principles, the travelers of the path, the students, were not the imitators of their masters and leaders, and they had different opinions from them. History bears witness that Ruknuddin Muhammad Sojasi had trained his pupils in this way. This can be confirmed by two of his prominent pupils, namely Ohaduddin Kermani and Shamseddin Tabrizi, who devised new ways ahead of the seekers of truth. One of the principles that Ohaduddin used to adhere to was veneration and worship of beauty. Worship of beauty is a deep-rooted concept in Sufism. Abu Helman, who lived in 3rd century AH, was famous in this method. This group of Sufis maintained that worship of beauty can soften the feeling and moderate the morals. This was the belief of some of the Sufi masters about music and sama. They opined that music and sama can cleanse and illuminate the heart and make it capable of reaching God as the ultimate truth. Ohaduddin was an adherent of this school of Sufism. That's why some of his contemporaries excommunicated him as a disbeliever. Of course, the life of Ohaduddin proves the opposite. Ohaduddin Kermani didn't separate worship of beauty from worship of God. He believed that human being has no other choice but the existing tools and phenomena to perceive reality and find his way towards the truth and the divine love. He says, زان می نگرم به چشم سر در صورت که از عالم معنی است اثر در صورت. With these very eyes, I behold the image, cause supernatural is mirrored in the image. این عالم صورت است و ما در صوریم. معنی نتوان دید مگر در صورت. An image in this world, in images are we. Supernatural cannot be seen but in the image. Late Furuzanfar maintained, the popularity of Ohaduddin among masses and his appointment as the master of sheikhs in Baghdad by the caliph and enjoying noted successors indicate that he had pure love and intention. In Sama, too, many of the elderly Sufis complied with him and considered it as a kind of worship. Ohaduddin was of the opinion that the beloved, that is God, is manifested in the entire universe. He deemed beauty as a manifestation of the spiritual and supernatural world and looked at that world and its beauties through beholding the beautiful face image. Jan Ribka, Czech Iranologist, says, this group of Sufis considered glorification of celestial beauties can materialize through glorification of terrestrial beauties. Some researchers believe that this is a kind of humanism that had emerged in the Islamic mysticism and Sufism for a certain period. This had apparently led to the notion of perfect man, because beauty is perfection by itself. The method of seeing and extolling of beauties was not a novel method. In fact, it had culminated in the era of Ohaduddin. This group maintained that since the servant of God reaches the stage that God is manifested in his eyes, ears, tongue, and heart, whenever he looks, it is God who looks and God sees his beauty in the beauty of the onlookers.